Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week, we're reaching in and grabbing out of the internet. We're going to be talking about Kickstarters. Here with me this week, we have our famous George the Wizard.
Famous?
Famous.
I mean, I appreciate that, but might be a little bit biased.
If they listen to us, they know who you be.
Well, thanks.
As usual, we have Hannah on the controls.
Doing the beep boops.
This week, we're going to be talking about a subject that is both near and dear and sour to my own heart, Kickstarters. Kickstarter is one of those wonderful, wonderful websites, but I have seen so many people get into such deep holes with them. George over here has kickstarted several games, at least, that I know of, at least a few. I've kickstarted one. It left a bad taste in my mouth, and so I've become one of those, I'll wait for a store to kickstart it and then buy theirs. Kind of guys at this point, but that's why we bought George, is he's had good experiences.
Ups and downs, for sure. But yeah, I definitely have had enough of a positive experience that I'm not here to convince anybody that Kickstarter is definitely the way to go, but I have at least had fun with it.
No, but it is a wonderful place that sometimes that's the only place you're going to get that game.
Sure.
Or, you know, or things like that, or they might make a small spin-off website to sell some more afterwards, but, you know, sometimes it's like, oh no, if you want the full game and not to miss half of it, kind of like Bloodborne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bloodborne was one of those really big ones where, like, if you actually got the Kickstarter version, you got so much more, and then some of that stuff's just not going to come back, and it's not like Rising Sun, where a lot of that stuff was tokens that they just made into nice plastic bits or something like
right.
that. It's a little more stable. It actually, gameplay-wise, you actually kind of lost a little if you don't Kickstart it, and that's why I wanted to kind of bring up Kickstarters, because you don't, like I said, you can miss out on some really cool things just not seeing it.
Yep.
Or sometimes you just don't get to see those games because they don't go to distribution and really get like out there. And so I think the only one I've kickstarted was Dark Souls, which was a fun game. I love that game. I've talked up that game and how much it is an amazing game a bunch before, but it took a really long time to get there. That's the other reason I'm like, let's bring George, because mine wasn't the best. But what games have you kickstarted that, like, went really well for you, like, where it actually flowed?
That's a very fair question. And it's funny, just for context for people listening at home, hearing about the Dark Souls one, because that's probably the most glaring example of the negative end of it. I ran the dates. The Kickstarter finished in May of 2016 for Dark Souls, the board game.
Oh my god, no.
The final fulfillment for the last things that they had to send out didn't end up shipping until November of 2019, just a few months before,
my gosh,
you know, our lovely pandemic ended up, you know, hitting our shores and all that. So,
yeah,
just for context, there are some excruciating long wait times to get your stuff when things just kind of go as badly as they can.
Yeah, and we'll get into what happened with them. Like,
yeah,
I got to have a bit of a personal conversation. That's why I was like, it's left a sweet flavor in my mouth, but it's also been a little bitter.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, I got a nice bittersweet resolve from it, but that's why I've made my divergence.
Yeah, no, and that definitely makes sense. So I guess just to go off of a few of the positive ones, which I know, I mean, you've played at least a couple of them with me, but back in the day, probably, I think the first one I ever backed was Tack, a beautiful game.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah.
You got to back Tack?
That was an original Kickstarter game that eventually came through. For those of you that don't know, it's a game based on one of our mutual favorite book series, The Kingkiller Chronicles, specifically the second book, The Wise Man's Fear. And it's a great game. It's something that the guy James Ernst originally of Cheap Ass Games, which has now changed his name to James Ernst Games, if you're trying to look it up. I wonder why he wanted to change it from Cheap Ass Games.
Start making games in your teens and 20s, and then by the time you're 30 or something, you're like,
it's kind of a bad name.
Yeah, maybe we should rebrand.
So that was great. And they had all sorts of fun Name of the Wind exclusive things, like coins from the world and little fun extras and whatnot that you could do.
Those coins are going for bucos now on their actual website.
Yeah.
Like, I looked into getting some for actual pieces and ugh.
Yeah, yeah. So you Patrick Rothfuss fans out there, he does go to Kickstarter for things once in a while. And actually, if you pay attention to just your own favorite creators' social media channels, people get tagged and brought into weird Kickstarter projects all the time. Like, I just noticed that in a weird author's tarot set, among a litany, like a countless number of other great authors, Patrick Rothfuss was hanging out, being a weird tarot card in an artist author thing.
I love it.
So, yeah.
He's in so many weird projects. I love all of the projects that he's in. Now, if you could just finish that book, that'd be great.
I know.
Stop working on other stuff.
Yeah.
Write your book.
He's resting on his laurels. I'm just kidding. I love him. Take your time, but please finish it someday. Because he's totally listening to this podcast.
Oh, totally. No.
Definitely. I'm gonna tag him in it. It's all right.
Though, I mean, after that, Dark Souls was one of the next ones that I ended up backing myself, and I was right there with you with that 3.5 year wait to end up getting all of our stuff.
But I'm glad you didn't let it spoil that for you. But I was just like, dude, that I hadn't kickstarted anything. That was my literal first Kickstarter, and that was not happy.
Yeah. No, and it's fair, because, I mean, 3.5 years, that's a full 2.5 years after they said they were going to fulfill everything, which is just a little longer.
Yeah.
You know?
Just a skosh.
I mean, when it comes down to it, there are a lot of companies that will follow through a lot quicker. There are some companies that actually make the game and get it produced first, and then we'll do some extra stuff on top of that. Like CMON Games, Cool Mini or not, who did Rising Sun, which was the next one that the store did actually back.
And I'm super hyped that I managed to swoop one of those Kickstarter ones.
They're so cool.
So oh, God.
This is the ever so slightly shilly, moment to mention, hey, if there's ever a Kickstarter that you see out there that has a retail pledge level, reach out. Let us know. Or if you're not local to us, reach out to your local game store and let them know that you're interested in. Because, like, with enough word of mouth, that's usually enough to be a little motivation for wherever you're at to see if that'll happen.
For sure.
And, like I said, that's more or less where I'm at. Like, if I see a Kickstarter game, that's the first thing I look for is it going to be retail? If so, cool. I'm just going to see if we'll order it and I'll buy it through us, because at least then I'm not worried about waiting anymore. I'll always just be like, yep, all right, cool. It'll come in when it comes in.
And it's so crazy because companies like that, especially since they have the financial backing to produce the game and have the, you know, the capital to put into the game itself, but before, you know, they're starting to ask for all of your money collectively as a crowdsourcing thing. But when they do that, you still have to wait a while, but
the turnaround is so much quicker, though.
It's so much quicker. And with companies like that, you're getting like an entire extra box worth of game for free because you went straight to them at the Kickstarter rather than, you know, some other 5 extra boxes of expansions that will each cost you an arm and a leg to pick up collectively. If you go to the Kickstarter, whether it's from a store or yourself, there's almost always some ridiculous goodies that you can get involved. So
it is always surprising to me how inexpensive the full Kickstarter sets are. Like, when we get them in at the store, you get a box set that's like $200. It's a hefty price, but it comes with so much stuff that you look at and you're like, this would normally cost like $400 or $500 to pick up each piece on its
own. And that's where you get into the pit of Kickstarter. I know at least 4 or 5 guys that I've talked to about Kickstarter, and they're like, oh yeah, I love Kickstarter. My shelves, on the other hand, don't. I have probably 300 to 500 minis not painted because I'm picking up $200 runs, but it's giving me 100 minis each time, if not more.
Yep.
Like, what, the Hellboy game came out and was 250 minis, like, off the bat or something like that?
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot with all the expansions and everything that they ended up doing for, you know, if you went all in on that game, it was well over 200 miniatures, I'm pretty sure. It's to the point that there's more minis than you can, like, really feasibly ever get painted all yourself, unless you really have it, you know, you're dedicated to it, or you're an awesome painter like Hannah that people will pay money to have stuff done like that for.
But even those, like, I'm still, years later, I'm still working on Corey's Rising Sun set because it's so many and they take so long.
See,
the ones that I've seen look amazing though.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that you've done so far are really ace, but that's why I'm really glad I want to start the Hellboy one, and I'm glad I've had a little experience with army painting and like batch painting, because I'm like, okay, these are just going to be tabletop ready,
right?
Not show pieces.
Yeah.
Big bad guys, show pieces.
Which is
little guys, don't do
which
that.
Which is about where I'm at with that Rising Sun box now. I think I have one more box of actual, like, monsters to do, and then the rest are just like little armies and stuff that I'm going to tabletop ready, and I'm not going to worry about details. So it's, I'm like, I'm so close, but I'm still so far away.
Well, whenever you get around to doing that, give me a heads up, because I love batch painting fantasy figures. I hate batch painting space figures, but I love my fantasy.
Which, so for me, I haven't kickstarted a lot of games. This kind of is a great foray into the few things that I have kickstarted have been like Reaper miniatures, dice towers, which I'm still waiting on my dice tower. I was talking to George about this earlier. I backed it like, it was supposed to ship in December of 2020. I backed it in March. It was supposed to ship in December. December came around. They're like, hey, we're sorry. We're going to get it to you guys in May. June came around. They're like, hey, guys, we're still struggling. We're going to get them out as soon as we can. We're still waiting.
Poor guys. And see, sometimes that's what happens, too, with those Kickstarter guys. Like, when I talked with the Dark Souls guys, that was part of their situation, was that they were like, our mini manufacturer kept mucking up the molds.
Yeah.
So we kept getting things that we didn't want. And we know the Dark Souls crowd well enough that if we didn't have these miniatures more or less perfect, you were going to chew us alive.
These guys, it's called the Tinkerer's Tower, and it's a super cool dice tower. I'm so stoked for it. But they had issues with their 3D printing. They got way more backing than they were actually anticipating, so the demand for it is really high, so they have to make so many more than they were originally intending to do. So they just keep the main guy that's funneling, like, doing it, had to move halfway through. So it's just been like one thing after another after another. And these dice towers, I'm so excited for them. They have like a dice jail in them. They're customizable. You can snap the pieces together to make them look how you want.
That's going to be good.
So much dice storage in them. Like, you can store your dice in the base or the top of the tower and then use it as a dice roller too.
Oh, I have so many pounds of dice that that'd be nice.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. But it's that thing. It's Kickstarter. If you're backing something like Reaper Miniatures or a big company, you have a relatively good time frame where you know you're going to get your stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're very clear about wave one's going to go out here, wave two's going to go out here. If anything happens, they let you know, but it's usually like maybe a month or two of delay.
Yeah. And but if our mold broke. Sorry.
Yeah, our mold broke. We started printing these. The dragons that I got, I kickstarted this set of dragons called the Dance of Death, and it's two dragons circling each other. The original Kickstarter was supposed to be over a foot tall. It was like a foot and a half. And when they tried to print it, the print kept failing. So they had to shrink it down. So now it's only like 11 inches tall. I'm a little bummed about it, but like, I understand. They're like, we just can't.
Put that extra inch in the base.
We just can't do it, guys. I just want a 12-inch
figure. It's fine. Just print it in the base.
So, I mean, that's just the risk you run back in Kickstarter. Sometimes the product has to change halfway through production. Sometimes they have these wonderful renderings that they think they're going to be able to do, and they're just not able to do them.
Yeah.
And if you back a big company, it's fairly on point for time frames. But if you're backing a small startup, again, you might be waiting a year or two or three or four.
And I had, well, that's the thing. I had heard of Steamforged Games. They had produced Guild Ball at that point. They had produced, gosh, what is that other one that they produced that was really successful? Not before God Tier. It was,
I forget.
Oh, they did a Devil May Cry. They did a Resident Evil 5. Mm-hmm. They've gotten a lot of video game licenses, and I think that came through their Dark Souls game, like, really helping out.
Yeah.
But they had produced a few of their own little games, and I was like, okay, so these guys are relatively, like, established already. They have a good following, so I thought I was getting in. And then when I talked to them, I realized how small they were before Dark Souls. And I was like, oh, you're, like, one of the, I'm a very big video game player mm-hmm. as well. And I'm, like, was just like, oh, you're one of those, like, indie companies that has, like, 10 dudes working for you. And he's like, yeah, more or less kind of that style to start with. And I'm like, oh, all right. So if you don't recognize the name of the people, do a little extra study. You know, if you're worried about long time turnover or something, you know, do a little extra peek into the company.
I do like your thinking on it, though, George, where you're like, it's just a present that I get for myself in the future. And sometimes I forget about it. And then I'm just happily surprised.
Yep.
That over the years, that has been my adopted mentality towards Kickstarter, is that if you are like so excited to get this thing and you want it as soon as possible, Kickstarter is going to be the death of the back of your mind for a long time. Sometimes you just have to kind of let yourself forget about it and then, you know, let it be a nice surprise when it happens. Like, I have a wonderful Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense messenger bag that's coming from the Hellboy RPG Kickstarter that they did back in September of last year. And At this point, I was like, nah, it hasn't been that long, has it? It's approaching a year, apparently.
I'm too, like, I don't know, money focused, to where if I spend, like, my dice tower, I spent about $100 for the tier that I wanted on the dice tower.
That's fair. That's not a small amount of money.
And I'll be so excited when it gets here. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, like, every now and then, my brain just goes, we spent $100 and we don't have anything to show for it. Where is that?
Right.
Yeah. And about the 6-month marker, my brain was able to kind of start being like, okay, it's just going to get here when it gets here. Chill out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of what happens with me too, is being like, I'd like to see some, like, I at least got something when I bought my Kickstarter one because I got the base game, right. Which was at least nice to have tied me over.
Right.
But when you play as many games as George and I tend to, and especially at that point, I had Kyle with me, we crushed through pretty much everything within a month or two. And it was like, okay, I'd like my expansions and all my summons and all my this and all my that and all the fancy tokens I ordered.
Mm-hmm. I think my main thing isn't so much like, hey, give me my stuff, but it's the worry that I'm going to forget about it and then they're going to drop the ball and I'm never going to get the stuff I paid for.
Right.
And for the most part, Kickstarter is really, really good at protecting the people that back projects, where if the project falls through, you get a refund on your initial investment and all of that stuff. But, like, I don't trust other humans very much. And so I'm always like, what if the project folds and they just keep my money?
Or, like, even worse, the thing that, like, I feared for a while about what, like, kept me from doing Kickstarters, I move a lot.
That,
like, I used to move a lot. I think I'm still at a 1-to-1 ratio, 1 year for one move. And so I'm always really nervous that if it takes longer than a year, what if I'm not here and I forget to change my address on my Kickstarter and they do send it to me and now some schlub over here has my Kickstarter. I want my Kickstarter back. Give it here. That hasn't happened to me, but that's one of the things that, like, I kind of get nervous about is I'm like, I move enough that, like, if I forget to change my address on my Kickstarter and then something ships in that time that I'm moving and now schlub over here has my Kickstarter.
So real talk for, like, brains, right? Because I forget a lot of stuff. I have a notepad on my laptop that has all of the places where I need to submit a change of address every time I move. And the few times that I have backed a Kickstarter, I have added those to the form. And then once they arrive, I take them off the form. Because I forget to change my address. So I also have about a 1-to-1 ratio. This is currently the place I'm at is the longest I've ever stayed stationary in one spot since I turned 18. So I have just this revolving form every time I make a new thing that requires my address. I'm like, don't forget to change this when you move.
I should probably do that. Yeah, I think where I'm at 28 or 29.
Yeah.
We move a lot.
You guys move a lot.
I was trying not to take the schlub at the place you used to live comment personally.
Oh, yeah. No, I forget that I have, like, an actual... Well, if my old address, it wouldn't be a problem. I'd be able to be like, yo, hey, my dude, give me my thing. But, you know, what if I forgot at the, you know, the house before I lived
true,
in yours?
True,
and
true.
Those folks were nice. They knew that I lived down the way. But, you know, what if they weren't nice people?
Right.
And then my game ends up 2 doors down, essentially.
Then you're just like, no, hey George, mine. I need you to watch this house all the time. Every time they get a package delivery, I need you to go make sure it's not for me.
Go get a Ring camera and just install it on the power pole outside their house.
I'll just go get a can and I'll be like, hey guys, can you just tell me, you know, if you get a package for a guy named Drew? A little can with a string on either end.
There you
like,
go.
Just let me know.
Just let me know. Just ring me.
That'd be wonderful. Your can rattles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You could invest a lot of money into those friendship lights where you can touch them and both the lights, no matter how far apart, change color.
That would be a weird roundabout way to make sure I knew your Kickstarter game showed up
right?
in an old house.
That'd be a really weird way, but that'd be kind of interesting to just, like, be chilling in your house and suddenly it goes green and you're like, oh,
Oh, my Kickstarter.
Apparently
arrived.
It's here.
Yeah, yeah. So a quick note on the other end of the blade of the waiting game that you play with Kickstarter is that as opposed to something like Dark Souls, which was immediately an awesome game right out of the box, you start playing it and it's super fun. It's really hard, but it's super fun.
If you like Dark Souls, it holds that spirit.
Exactly, right. Whereas shout out to my buddy Mark, who is even more of a Kickstarter enthusiast than I am. Yeah, addict is the right word, actually, yes. So shout out to
I said fun addict, but all right.
You're like, oh, sure, hi, Mark.
Yeah. Love Mark.
I was actually just over at Mark's, and we played the second to last mission in Gloomhaven.
What?
Yeah.
That's possible to get that far?
Yeah. We're almost done with Gloomhaven, and this is a game we've been playing for 4 years. So I guess that's the fun end of the spectrum is you might get a game out of it that you can then play for 4 years, or you could get a game like Batman: Gotham City Chronicles, seasons 1 and seasons 2, that you end up spending like $300 on for
a really cool T-Rex.
You got the coolest T-Rex out of that game.
I did. I remember talking about it on the podcast a long, long time ago. To this day, Hannah, guess how many times I've played that game.
Is it a cool zero?
It's a cool zero.
All right.
So, you know.
You got a really cool T-Rex out of it, though.
I did.
That's why you broke me as soon as you brought it up. I was like, oh, yeah. We how many times did we personally, like, in the, what, year and a half or so that I lived with you, looked at each other and was like, oh, yeah, we should play that and, like, get down on that.
Yeah.
And half the time you just look at me and be like, no.
After I got it in the mail and looked at everything and I went online to go look at a video, it is one of the most poorly reviewed, complicated board games. Like, it's based on an old Conan game and it has a Batman skin on it. And it's just, like, the rule book is bigger than a Batman graphic novel. Like, it's so thick and dense that it's honestly like almost more trouble than it's worth to learn how to play the game, and everything that is about it says that it's not
so
even
basically
that great in the first place.
You spent $300 on some really dope minis.
Yep.
You could just make a Gotham City cityscape.
The fact that I haven't
is a little disappointing.
Is a little disappointing to even my own self.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's start getting you like Batman Lego sets.
Yep.
And then instead of Lego Batman things, you'll have just dozens of really awesome actual like Batman miniatures.
I like it.
So on one end of the spectrum, you have Gloomhaven, which was originally a Kickstarter, and the sequel to which is going to be coming out probably this year sometime, Frosthaven.
I would do that louder, but I don't want to kill our audience, but
yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. So
schoolgirl squeals. All around.
So Gloomhaven, which you can play for literally years and never get tired of or get bored with it. And then there's Batman, which looks really pretty.
Yep.
So, you know, all sorts, all sizes.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm really sad that, like, I'm on a certain video games bandwagon a little late and they did a board game for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm mad that I didn't, like, wasn't on the wagon sooner.
Horizon?
No, I love Horizon Zero Dawn. I was. The second Steamforge announced that they were doing that, I've been a very good boy not buying that game.
It looks awesome, but yeah.
I will probably get it for my birthday because Katie's been asking me what I want for that, so I'm probably just gonna be like, I want this.
Nice.
Like that's really what I want. You know, Digimon and Magic have been taking up most of my money of the fun side. But no, it was Stardew Valley.
Oh, nice, yeah.
I've been playing a bunch of that lately. I think I got it on my Xbox a week ago, and I think I've already put in like 48 hours.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah. But they did a board game for it, and of which they had originally intended to go to retail. That part got canceled due to the pandemic. And so they are selling it through their own like website and stuff like that, but I'm kind of bummed that I didn't get on to like the Kickstarter of it so that I got one of those early copies to just have, because I've looked at it and some people love it, some people don't. Most of the fans love it though. So yeah. That's more, I take that a little more well. It's like, if you're a guy who's just like, I'm playing this game, it's okay. But if you're a fan and you're like, it's great, I'm going to take your side a little bit more. I get that you're a little biased on it, but at the same time, if it was bad, you would tell me that it was atrocious and rip at it.
Yep.
So if a fan calls it good, that's normally one that I'm like, dang it, now I want it. I want it now.
I want it.
I might have to buy it late.
Hey, that one's in and out of stock on the website. If the Stardew Valley board game sounds interesting to you, listener, it's like really hard to get. But if you're like a on it, like a whatever, like a very on it person would be, you can pay attention to their own website. Like Drew mentioned, I think that's the only place you can actually get it.
It's the only place that you can get it right now. And the nice thing is that they've made little notes of being like, hey, we're printing as fast as we can, right, more or less at this right. point. They're like, we're not trying to shortchange people. We're not trying to do a...
They're not, like, trying to take a bunch of people's money and then not fill their orders and all that.
Yeah, they're actually like, hey, we're printing as fast as we can. Well, they filled most of their orders, but now that, like, people are wanting to go get new copies, they're mm-hmm. like, we're working on it, we promise. Like,
sorry, guys!
The machines can go only as fast as so many people are in the building. Hope for them. I hope that they go to retail, too. It'd be nice to see them actually come around to a full retail version that we could get and help get some people copies of.
We would sell like 50 copies in about a month.
I know at least 3 or 4 people in the store who would be like, yeah, I'll buy one right now.
Right.
Kickstarter, the wonderful place that it is. It gives and it very much takes from you.
It giveth and it taketh away.
Just on the note of, we kind of touched on this a bit, but just one of the things that I feel is worth bringing up, especially if somebody out there is considering maybe backing a Kickstarter, one of the ways to kind of suss out what we were talking about with like experience and size of company and stuff is everybody that's on Kickstarter will always have a history of projects that they have either backed or been the creator of. And the more consistency you see with fully pledged and backed projects that lead up to the one that you might be considering, the better.
Yes. Yeah.
I got my gaming table that I have at home was actually a Kickstarter. The table itself is called The Duchess, if you want to look it up. And the company is literally called Board Game Tables or Board Gaming Tables. If you look it up on Kickstarter, you'll find it. It was an early project that this company did, and they learned a lot of lessons while they were doing it, much like Steamforge did with Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And I've seen them do successive projects in the future, having learned from all the mistakes of what they've done in the past. So if you happen to be listening and you look them up, if Board Game Tables does a Kickstarter now in 2021, I guarantee you it'll have a way better follow through than it would have a few years ago when they did their first project, which ended up working out just fine in the end.
And your table is so cool. I love that table.
And exactly nice like table. You said, they learned their lessons, like Steamforge. The next time I saw them have game go out for Kickstarter and stuff, the turnaround on it was so much quicker. They had also found like solid people to actually work with, and they had hired so much more. I really feel bad for those guys. Like, I felt bad as soon as I like heard their little story. Was like, oh, I'm sorry, I was so mad at you. That's not your fault.
So, I mean, I bet they wish they knew that the printers that they went to were going to mess up as often as they did, so that they could be like, hey guys, we hope it's going to be done by May of next year.
Yeah.
But with like months long delays, every twist and turn of every single instance that it could happen everywhere down the road ended up taking 3.5 years, not 1 year.
Yeah.
So it's just like, what can you do at a certain point?
For our friends that don't know, they had gotten a new like lead game designer brought in. He happened to come from the video game world and had a few ties, like few friends that were in the Dark Souls world. And he managed to get the licensing to make the board game for it. And they were like, okay, well, like people like Dark Souls. Like, and we know that the fans of Dark Souls love it. So we've got to make this very, you know, almost like I said earlier, darn near perfect.
Right.
Because those fans who love it will invest whatever they have to, but it has to be perfect for that. They did not comprehend how many people loved Dark Souls. Right. They understood yes. the love for the game. They did not understand how many people had love for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were super tiny, printing problems. But yeah, now I've talked to one of their dudes and he was like, yeah, we've like quadrupled in size just so that we can start handling a bunch like things like this. And we're going to try to keep doing these video game titles. So we're going to need to keep having a mass amount of people to actually handle these things.
I've noticed that companies that have successfully funded Kickstarters, like multiple Kickstarters, eventually end up having caps on their pledge levels. Like a lot of companies just start out with like, oh, we're just excited that you want to pledge. We'll mm-hmm. let you pledge as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get like 100 people pledging at the $100+ pledge level, and you have to then make all of those things that you promised that you would make. but I see a lot of people that have multiple Kickstarters under their belt where they're like, we're only letting 20 people pledge at this level. Get in now.
Yeah.
While you can.
That was the reason for the O is I was going to say that's actually one of the things that Illis does with the salve.
Oh, yeah.
Is he does, like, that was one of the smartest things I think he had ever done is he was like, nope, we're doing 25 of these variant covers. So there's only 25 of these high tier pledges and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I guess that's the other Kickstarter. I forgot that I've Kickstarted his stuff a couple
times. His stuff doesn't feel like a Kickstarter.
No,
though.
Because I normally, except for the last couple times, I try to go over and help him when he's trying to fill it. So it's like, yeah. Oh, hey, while I'm here, I'll just fill this package and I'm just going to take this one home with me. It's got my name on it and everything.
Yep. No, that's the only things that I've ever backed other than board games have been comics. And I even have written down on my little page of notes, like, there are some really, really awesome comics. I know we're talking about board games, hey. But...
We're talking Kickstarter today.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, even local people, like, you know, our own local illist, Uminati, who is also a illustrious comic artist and writer who's been doing a bunch of variant covers for, like, other publishers and stuff, too.
Yeah, I've seen his art getting out there lately, which is rad.
But, yeah, I mean, basically, just follow the people you like on social media. They'll definitely put it out there if they have projects like that going on, and you can get some really cool stuff that you just literally can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Kickstarter's become a huge place for people who are very independent artists or very independent designers and stuff like that can go and actually be like, hey, if you like that one thing I did that one time... I'm going to try to sell some for once.
There's been a lot in the last couple of years, a lot of really haven't had the money to back any of them, but amazing sounding RPGs that have come through Kickstarter. Stuff that I wish major RPG publishers would just pick up because they sound so good.
Yeah.
There was even that one thing that Brendan Quinn of the local tag group had poked at us for earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
There's the...
What was he looking for?
It's he said, so we got a little heads up that there's some quick start rules for an Avatar, The Last Airbender RPG.
Yep.
What? Why has nobody sent me a link
quick
for
start
this?
Rules? I'll send it to you. I'll forward it to you.
All of you right now.
We were going to tell you today.
We were saving it for the podcast. But yeah.
Disappoint.
Amazing things. Avatar Legends, the role-playing game, quick start rules. It sounds...
That sounds rad.
Super cool!
I would like 5e to actually pick up the independently made and free, just for all of you out there who might think this is interesting, Pokemon reskin for 5e.
Ooh.
Yeah, this person went through and made CRs for every Pokemon, more or less. And then set up an entire system on how many Pokemon you can have. I think I've sent you the PDF, George, if I haven't, I need to.
I would.
Maybe.
I would absolutely back that on Kickstarter.
But too. Yeah, it's
like a hardbound.
It's a super rad. Yeah, it's only a PDF. That's the thing, though, is that it's only a PDF. But yeah, I would love to actually see a printed version of that because whoever did it did a really good job of taking their time. And that could be really beneficial to both of those companies. And it'd be kind of cool to see those two cross.
If like Kobold Press picked it up or something, that would be amazing.
Right. Maybe we need to, maybe we should start pushing them to do that.
We'll tag Patrick Rothfuss and Kobold Press.
Yep.
We'll just distract Patrick from his writing a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's just not going to make a difference.
Listen to our 45-minute long episode, Patrick.
We'll just write a strongly worded email to both of them about we as the community believe this should happen.
Before I forget to mention, just in case the Avatar The Last Airbender RPG did sound interesting, the link that I got about it today says that the Kickstarter actually starts on August 3rd, so coming up here in a few weeks. Rest assured that if there is a retailer pledge level, we will absolutely be jumping on that bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 1,000%.
All right, well, I guess Katie and I have something to talk about when I get home.
That would be a fun one instead of The Witcher to run with Kaylee.
Oh, that would. Did I not tell you? I got her actually running 5e now.
Yeah. No, we talked about that. I was just saying.
Yeah, that'd probably be more kid-friendly than The Witcher.
I mean, I want to be an Earthbender. That would be pretty dope.
I just want to be Toph Beifong. That's all I want to
well,
be.
Yeah. We might have to do a one-shot of that, because I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be a lot of fun.
But yeah, no. So don't worry about it, though. I mean, the conversation doesn't have to happen now. It can happen like a year from now when the actual RPG the Kickstarter drops. Maybe sooner.
I might. That sounds like one that I'd be willing to back to make sure that that company like got every penny from it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It does seem like it's a bit of a smaller company. I don't think it's one that I'd heard of.
That is the other thing about Kickstarter that I like. I like that I know that they're getting the money.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, okay, right. Cool. This company is going to get every penny I spend on this, other than obviously, you know, shipping and things like that. But it's like every penny I spend for them is going to go to them, which makes me feel better, especially as a person who works in a small store, local kind of store, knowing that giving those smaller local guys their, you know, shot at getting the full bang for their buck is really nice.
And it gives the market a chance to have more games.
Yeah. But I think that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. We're going to slide that door shut and lock up the cabinet and call it a good one. Thank you for joining us this week, George. It was wonderful to have you.
I was happy to be back. First podcast in like 2.5 years.
It's so nice to have you back.
Nice to have you.
I believe the people miss you. Hannah, thank you, as always, for helping us lead down these rabbit holes of gaming and fun and
I'm so excited weird to hear about games because I don't play any.
Well, I think that's it.
All right.
We'll catch you guys not next week, but next time.
You've been listening to The Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.